Escuelas oficiales de idiomas de Andalucía. Inglés. Nivel intermedio. Comprensión oral. Tarea 1. Escuche la grabación. Elija la mejor opción. A, B o C. El texto se escuchará 3 veces. Ahora dispone usted de 2 minutos para leer las preguntas.
When the first public telephone kiosks came into use in the early 1880s, most people had never even seen a telephone before, let alone used one. For many first-time users, making a call from one of the new phone boxes was an overwhelming experience. And there were those who had no idea how to use a phone. They'd put the telephone mouthpiece to their ear, and when they couldn't hear anything, they'd try to unscrew it. Others stood and bellowed into the earpiece. Some early phone boxes were manned by attendants, who would make the connection and take the money before stepping outside to allow the customer to make their call in private. Early telephone kiosks came in all shapes and sizes. There wasn't a standard style. It was only after the General Post Office took over the ever-expanding telephone network in 1912 that they decided phone boxes should have a uniform look. And in 1921, the kiosk number 1, or K1, was first seen on our streets. Later on, a competition was held to come up with a design for a new K2 kiosk, which was won by the architect Sir Giles Gilbert Scott. This appeared in 1927 and was the first incarnation of our famous red phone box, with a refined version, the K6, being introduced for the Silver Jubilee of King George V in 1936. The K6 kiosk was then launched nationwide, and has since become a British design icon, along with red postboxes and double-decker Routemaster buses. Not all telephone booths were standard kiosks. From as early on as 1912, there were roadside phone booths for members of the RAC and the AA to ring for help when their cars broke down. And in the days before personal radios and mobile phones, there were police boxes, call points that allowed police on patrol to keep in touch with their local station. Though they were taken out of use in the late 1960s, these large, dark blue kiosks continue to find fame as the exterior of the TARDIS in Doctor Who. And red phone boxes have appeared in numerous films. One can be seen in the Harry Potter film, The Order of the Phoenix. It's the entrance to the Ministry of Magic. The red kiosks are also popular with private collectors, and can be found in locations from Russia to the United States, where they have been used for anything from shower cubicles to drinks cabinets. Although many of the originals have been removed from our streets, there are still around 13,000 traditional red phone boxes of various types around the country today. The public telephone kiosk holds a special place in the memories of generations of users.
Ahora dispone usted de un minuto para comprobar sus respuestas.
When the first public telephone kiosks came into use in the early 1880s, most people had never even seen a telephone before, let alone used one. For many first-time users, making a call from one of the new phone boxes was an overwhelming experience. And there were those who had no idea how to use a phone. They'd put the telephone mouthpiece to their ear, and when they couldn't hear anything, they'd tried to unscrew it. Others stood and bellowed into the earpiece. Some early phone boxes were manned by attendants, who would make the connection and take the money before stepping outside to allow the customer to make their call in private. Early telephone kiosks came in all shapes and sizes. There wasn't a standard style. It was only after the General Post Office took over the ever-expanding telephone network in 1912 that they decided phone boxes should have a uniform look. And in 1921, the kiosk number one, or K1, was first seen on our streets. Later on, a competition was held to come up with a design for a new K2 kiosk, which was won by the architect Sir Giles Gilbert Scott. This appeared in 1927 and was the first incarnation of our famous red phone box, with a refined version, the K6, being introduced for the Silver Jubilee of King George V in 1936. The K6 kiosk was then launched nationwide and has since become a British design icon, along with red postboxes and double-decker Routemaster buses. Not all telephone booths were standard kiosks. From as early on as 1912, there were roadside phone booths for members of the RAC and the AA to ring for help when their cars broke down. And in the days before personal radios and mobile phones, there were police boxes, call points that allowed police on patrol to keep in touch with their local station. Though they were taken out of use in the late 1960s, these large, dark blue kiosks continue to find fame as the exterior of the TARDIS in Doctor Who. And red phone boxes have appeared in numerous films. One can be seen in the Harry Potter film, The Order of the Phoenix. It's the entrance to the Ministry of Magic. The red kiosks are also popular with private collectors, and can be found in locations from Russia to the United States, where they have been used for anything from shower cubicles to drinks cabinets. Although many of the originals have been removed from our streets, there are still around 13,000 traditional red phone boxes of various types around the country today. The public telephone kiosk holds a special place in the memories of generations of users.
Ahora dispone usted de un minuto para comprobar sus respuestas.
When the first public telephone kiosks came into use in the early 1880s, most people had never even seen a telephone before, let alone used one. For many first-time users, making a call from one of the new phone boxes was an overwhelming experience. And there were those who had no idea how to use a phone. They'd put the telephone mouthpiece to their ear, and when they couldn't hear anything, they tried to unscrew it. Others stood and bellowed into the earpiece. Some early phone boxes were manned by attendants, who would make the connection and take the money before stepping outside to allow the customer to make their call in private. Early telephone kiosks came in all shapes and sizes. There wasn't a standard style. It was only after the General Post Office took over the ever-expanding telephone network in 1912 that they decided phone boxes should have a uniform look. And in 1921, the kiosk number 1, or K1, was first seen on our streets. Later on, a competition was held to come up with a design for a new K2 kiosk, which was won by the architect Sir Giles Gilbert Scott. This appeared in 1927 and was the first incarnation of our famous red phone box, with a refined version, the K6, being introduced for the Silver Jubilee of King George V in 1936. The K6 kiosk was then launched nationwide and has since become a British design icon, along with red postboxes and double-decker Routemaster buses. Not all telephone booths were standard kiosks. From as early on as 1912, there were roadside phone booths for members of the RAC and the AA to ring for help when their cars broke down. And in the days before personal radios and mobile phones, there were police boxes, call points that allowed police on patrol to keep in touch with their local station. Though they were taken out of use in the late 1960s, these large, dark blue kiosks continue to find fame as the exterior of the TARDIS in Doctor Who. And red phone boxes have appeared in numerous films. One can be seen in the Harry Potter film, The Order of the Phoenix. It's the entrance to the Ministry of Magic. The red kiosks are also popular with private collectors, and can be found in locations from Russia to the United States, where they have been used for anything from shower cubicles to drinks cabinets. Although many of the originals have been removed from our streets, there are still around 13,000 traditional red phone boxes of various types around the country today. The public telephone kiosk holds a special place in the memories of generations of users.
Ahora dispone usted de un minuto para comprobar sus respuestas. Este es el final de la tarea 1. Tarea 2. Escuche la grabación. Indique sus respuestas en la casilla correspondiente. El texto se escuchará 3 veces. Ahora dispone usted de 2 minutos para leer las preguntas.
Extract 1.
How do you get around the city? How do you get around Boston?
I get around mainly by bicycle.
Interesting. And so why do you decide to not take the train or not drive? Like, what's that about?
Well, my bicycle is faster than taking the train, or actually faster than driving because there's a lot of traffic. And as far as taking the train, it doesn't always go exactly where I need to go. So riding a bicycle is more efficient.
Cool. And so I bet you save a lot of money.
I do. Yeah, I do. I do, absolutely. So I don't have to worry about tickets or parking, which can be a headache in the city.
Yeah, but what do you do in the winter? I mean, today, for example, it's so cold out. I was dying just walking here.
Yeah. Well, when it's not too cold, I still ride my bicycle. If it's really cold or the weather is bad, I will take a taxi or maybe take the bus.
Okay.
Yeah.
Extract 2.
What about you? How do you get around?
I am always on the subway.
Okay.
Yeah, so I buy the subway tickets because, I don't know, I just like it. I like walking from the station to my home, and I just like that I have a chance to kind of think through things.
Yeah.
I've been sort of lazy to buy a bike. Like, I've always wanted to have a bike, but I don't know. Sometimes I get lazy.
Extract 3.
I mean, in the U.S., we haven't been a very bike-friendly culture, I guess.
No,
so, but we're becoming more so because it's just more, I guess, environmentally friendly and fun.
Yeah.
You know, it's something that brings more tourism, too. I think,
definitely,
like, when people visit here from other cities, other countries, and you want to get around the city in a fun way, you know, it's nice to rent a bicycle.
It's a good way to do that. So if you're looking...
Extract 4.
Awesome. Sounds like a good way to get around.
Yeah, it is. And you know what? It's good exercise, too. It makes you feel healthy. So
for sure.
Yeah, just be sure to wear your helmet. You know, there's traffic out there, so
maybe
be
knee
careful.
Pads or elbow pads.
Yeah, whatever you need to get around. Yeah. Yeah, I mean, I think that, like, in European cities, a lot of people grow up riding bikes, and, you know, when they're in their early 20s still, like, they do ride bicycles pretty often. And so most drivers are aware of what it means to ride a bicycle. I mean, I read a story about this recently in the news, but it's different in the U.S. because a lot of people start driving young. I mean, I started driving at 15. I got my permit to drive. So, I mean, yeah, I know what it's like to ride a bicycle too, but sometimes there's divergence between drivers and bikers in terms of sharing the road. And so you just have to be considerate of one another.
Ahora dispone usted de un minuto para comprobar sus respuestas.
Extract 1.
How do you get around the city? How do you get around Boston?
I get around mainly by bicycle.
Interesting. And so why do you decide to not take the train or not drive? Like, what's that about?
Well, my bicycle is faster than taking the train, or actually faster than driving because there's a lot of traffic. And as far as taking the train, it doesn't always go exactly where I need to go. So riding a bicycle is more efficient.
Cool, cool. Mm. So I bet you save a lot of money. I mean,
I do. Yeah, I do. Awesome. I do, absolutely. So I don't have to worry about tickets or parking, which can be a headache in the city.
Yeah, but what do you do in the winter? I mean, today, for example, it's so cold out. It's I was dying just walking here.
Yeah. I mean, well, when it's not too cold, I still ride my bicycle. If it's really cold or the weather is bad, I will take a taxi or maybe take the bus.
Okay.
Yeah.
Extract 2.
What about you? How do you get around?
I am always on the subway.
Okay.
Yeah, so I buy the subway tickets because, I don't know, I just like it. I like walking from the station to my home, and I just like that I have a chance to kind of think through things.
Yeah.
I've been sort of lazy to buy a bike. Like, I've always wanted to have a bike, but I don't know. Sometimes I get lazy.
Extract 3.
I mean, in the U.S., we haven't been a very bike-friendly culture, I guess.
No,
so, but we're becoming more so because it's just more, I guess, environmentally friendly and fun.
Yeah.
You know, it's something that brings more tourism, too. I think,
definitely.
Like, when people visit here from other cities, other countries, and you want to get around the city in a fun way, mm-hmm. you know, it's nice to rent a bicycle.
It's a good way to do that. So if you're looking...
Extract 4.
Awesome. Sounds like a good way to get around.
Yeah, it is. And you know what? It's good exercise, too. It makes you feel healthy.
Mm-hmm.
So
for sure.
Yeah, just be sure to wear your helmet. You know, there's traffic out there. So
maybe knee
careful.
Pads or elbow pads.
Yeah, whatever you need to get around. Yeah. Yeah, I mean, I think that, like, in European cities, a lot of people grow up riding bikes. And, you know, when they're in their early 20s still, like, they do ride bicycles pretty often. And so most drivers are aware of what it means to ride a bicycle. I mean, I read a story about this recently in the news, but it's different in the U.S. because a lot of people start driving young. I mean, I started driving at 15. I got my permit to drive.
Yeah.
So, I mean, yeah, I know what it's like to ride a bicycle too, but sometimes there's divergence between drivers and bikers in terms of sharing the road. And so you just have to be considerate of one another.
Ahora dispone usted de un minuto para comprobar sus respuestas.
Extract 1.
How do you get around the city? How do you get around Boston?
I get around mainly by bicycle.
Interesting. And so why do you decide to not take the train or not drive? Like, what's that about?
Well, my bicycle is faster than taking the train, or actually faster than driving because there's a lot of traffic. Mm-hmm. And as far as taking the train, it doesn't always go exactly where I need to go. So riding a bicycle is more efficient.
Cool, cool. Mm. So I bet you save a lot of money. I mean,
I do. Yeah, I do. Awesome. I do, absolutely. So I don't have to worry about tickets or parking, which can be a headache in the city.
Yeah, but what do you do in the winter? I mean, today, for example, it's so cold out. I was dying just walking here.
Yeah. I mean, well, when it's not too cold, I still ride my bicycle. If it's really cold or the weather is bad, I will take a taxi or maybe take the bus.
Okay.
Yeah.
Extract 2.
What about you? How do you get around?
I am always on the subway. Okay. Yeah, you know, I buy the subway tickets because, I don't know, I just like it. I like walking from the station to my home, and I just like that I have a chance to kind of think through things.
Yeah.
I've been sort of lazy to buy a bike. Like, I've always wanted to have a bike, but I don't know. Sometimes I get lazy.
Extract 3.
I mean, in the U.S., we haven't been a very bike-friendly culture, I guess.
No,
but we're becoming more so because it's just more, I guess, environmentally friendly and fun.
Yeah.
You know, it's something that brings more tourism, too. I think,
definitely.
Like, when people visit here from other cities, other countries, and you want to get around the city in a fun way, mm-hmm. you know, it's nice to rent a bicycle.
It's a good way to do that. So if you're looking...
Extract 4.
Awesome. Sounds like a good way to get around.
Yeah, it is. And you know what? It's good exercise, too. It makes you feel healthy.
Mm-hmm.
So
for sure.
Yeah, just be sure to wear your helmet. You know, there's traffic out there. So
maybe knee
careful.
Pads or elbow pads.
Yeah, whatever you need to get around. Yeah. Yeah, I mean, I think that, like, in European cities, a lot of people grow up riding bikes. And, you know, when they're in their early 20s still, like, they do ride bicycles pretty often. And so most drivers are aware of what it means to ride a bicycle. I mean, I read a story about this recently in the news, but it's different in the U.S. because a lot of people start driving young. I mean, I started driving at 15. I got my permit to drive.
Yeah.
So, I mean, yeah, I know what it's like to ride a bicycle too, but sometimes there's divergence between drivers and bikers in terms of sharing the road. And so you just have to be considerate of one another.
Ahora dispone usted de un minuto para comprobar sus respuestas. Este es el final de la tarea 2.